If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips,
them just give hypertension.
Got some old fashioned itch, through a tilted back, I start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24/7.
Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit
or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mine is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that carry one of ourselves.
And now it's time for us to go and join the host of this evening's program, John Phillips, who is the advocacy officer of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. Hi, good evening, John. Welcome.
Hi, good evening, Larry, and good evening, listeners, and welcome to another session of Health Line. We're here with the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados, and I'm your host this evening. So this is the fourth program in the series brought to you by the Heart and Stroke Foundation's Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition. This evening, we have a very interesting topic for you. The topic this evening is we have a right to know what is in our food. And yes, as consumers, we really do have the right to know. But before I jump off the deep end, let me introduce our guests this evening. Joining me to have this conversation with you, and yes, it's going to be a conversation. It's not just going to be all talking. We are going to have a conversation. Three very special people. They're all members of the Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition. And our first guest is Mrs. Maisha Hutton. Maisha is the Executive Director of Healthy Caribbean Coalition. Welcome, Maisha. Happy you could join us.
Thanks to be here. Thanks for having me here.
And our second guest, and this is kind of a household name in Barbados, I'm thinking, Mrs. Marlene Rice Boyne, affectionately known by me as Sis. I've been calling her Sis for years. Marlene is the president of the Barbados Association of Retired Persons. Hi, Marlene. Welcome and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting Barb.
Absolutely. And our third guest this evening, and I'm going to say a really special thank you to her because she was brought on literally at the last minute because we had a little cancellation and she jumped right in and said, yes, absolutely, I will do it. She is a medical doctor. She is Dr. Khadija Manjera. Welcome, Khadija, and a pleasure to have you on the show with us this evening.
Thanks, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So a bit of housekeeping before we start. For the first 30 minutes or so, we're going to have our guests speak with you. We'll have the opportunity to share on the topic, after which we'll open the phone lines to take your calls. The telephone number, I'm sure you probably know this better than me, 434-1790. I try calling Larry every day, but I never get through, so I have it. And so you can stand by. You can write your questions down. You can ask us anything that we are going to be speaking of, or just share anything with us in common with regard to our childhood obesity prevention program. So our topic. We truly, I mean, I'm saying this from the depths of my gut. We truly, truly have the right to know what's in our food. It is critical that we know what is in our food. I don't know how many of you read the labels of what you pick up from the shelf when you go to shop. If you do that, that is absolutely fantastic. But if you don't, trust me, you need to start tomorrow by reading your labels. I'm putting out a challenge to you. Next time you go shopping, read a label. What you see may shock you. Sometimes the amount of sugar and other additives is so high. It's enough to last you for 3 days, and that's no joke. It is suggested by the American Heart Association that the daily limit of no more than 6 teaspoons of sugar or 24 grams for children and female adults, for males is slightly higher. And I can tell you, I can point a couple of drinks out to you that you purchased from the shelf. One drink in particular, I know, carries more than 15 teaspoonfuls of sugar. So yes, we have a right to know what we are drinking and eating and what you purchase. That one drink that I know, it has the amount of sugar to last you for 3 days. So read your labels. So before we jump into the questions and whatever, I'm going to share a little bit of what we are doing in our campaign. We just started a new multimedia campaign. The launch was last week, Thursday, and it runs for 8 weeks. The campaign is known as We Support Front of Package Warning Labels, and that's what we are going to be specifically speaking to tonight. So the campaign started last Thursday, as I said, and it runs for 8 weeks. And during that time, you'll hear our commercials on radio and television. You'll see advertisements on social media and in newspapers. You're going to see bus wraps. You're going to see information at some bus poles. We even have a massive thing down at Kensington Oval. So every time you approach, you'll see it. So the campaign focuses attention on the collective call for octagonal height in front of package warning labels. And that may sound like a mouthful, but we're going to break that all down to you tonight. The labels, the warning labels, this is going to be a CARICOM standard as an effective way to help consumers to make healthier food choices. Again, we are going to get into that a little later. It also highlights health harms of unhealthy foods, particularly ultra-processed or packaged foods, what we call packaged foods that are high in sodium, sugar, saturated fat, or trans fat. These ultra-processed or packaged foods can increase the risk of obesity, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. So that is what our campaign is all about. And I'm sure you've been seeing the commercials and hearing the ads already. So with that background to our campaign, I'm going to jump right into our topic this evening. And Khadija, I'm going to call on you first. I'm coming at you first. Why? And feel free to explain. We have a full hour. Feel free to share as much information on this because this is critical information and this is a two-part question I'm going to ask. So why is it important to know what is in our food? I know some of us know the answer, but I want it broken down like we're talking to four-year-olds because I really do want especially parents to get it. And that's a natural segue into my next point. Why is it important to have these food labels? So, all over to you.
Okay, so good night again to everyone. So why is it important to know what is in food? You know, there's a saying that we are what we eat. So essentially food is a fuel that we use to sustain our bodies and nourish our bodies. Just like, you know, you have gasoline for cars or diesel for cars. So, you know, depending on what fuel you use to nourish your body, you can then in turn influence like what your quality of life and like even how long you're likely to live. Because so for instance, if you use things that are high in sugar or high in fats or salt, you're more likely to get obesity and high blood pressure and complications. So things like heart attack and stroke. So someone who has a heart attack versus somebody who doesn't have a heart attack, who's going to have a better quality of life? Who's likely to live longer? The person without the heart attack or without the stroke. So it's very important to know what fuel you are putting into your body. Because obviously you don't put diesel into a gasoline car and vice versa. So the hope and the aim is that by educating people about what is in the food itself, people can be empowered and made aware of what is a healthier option. Because a lot of times people don't know how to read food labels and don't even know what they're consuming, you know, like you just grew up eating this corned beef and this hot dog or, you know, that was a staple of your breakfast. So you're kind of autopilot, but by educating people and raising awareness, then you can give people the empowerment to make better choices and help them to live longer and live healthier lives. And in the year of 2021, we have a not just a COVID pandemic, but we also have a chronic disease pandemic, where the complications of diabetes and high blood pressure and so on are the number one killers of the population across the Caribbean in general and across the world. So it starts with what we fuel our bodies with. Yes, genetics play a role and that we can't control, but there are a lot of things that are in our control. And diet is a big factor in what contributes to the chronic diseases. So knowledge is power, and then that should empower people to make healthier food choices. The second question you asked is, why is it important to have these labels? So as Jan would have said, these labels are like octagonal. They're usually black and white, and they're at the front of the package. So straight off the bat, it captures your attention. As you walk through the supermarket aisle, you can see these black and white labels at the front. You don't actually have to pick up and fumble an item and then be looking for the nutrition label and so on. It's just very easy. It captures your attention right off the bat. And then the information is very simple. So it's so easy to read and understand. It's just like three or four words. And it gives you so much information in those few words alone. So you don't have to go and start reading about percentages or grams of sugar or grams of salt, you know. So it takes up less time as well. So, you know, if you have a busy parent who is just trying to do the supermarket run after a long day at work and they don't have time to sit and read all these labels, but they do want to help their family to be more nutritious, you know, just being able to quickly scan the front of the item and see that it says, okay, this is high in salt, this is high in sugar, maybe this isn't the best choice for my family at this point. Let me choose something else. So one, it's very easy to read and understand. Two, it's quick, so you don't have to be fumbling with a nutritional label. And it's very efficient. So that's the benefit of having what we call front of package warning labels.
Thank you very much, Khadija. And yes, we are definitely in a chronic disease pandemic. We know how many people, I'm thinking that everybody in Barbados knows somebody who is either diabetic or hypertensive. We really are in trouble and we really need to pull this back. And so the Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, we think, is a good place to start. All right. So what we're going to discuss next, the current challenges with nutrition food labels. Let me tell y'all my challenge up front. My challenge is that I can't see the back of the labels. I know it probably has something to do with when you're getting up there, but the eyes can make out some of these things that are written on the back of the package. Man, listen to me. When I go to the supermarket, I pull out my phone without shame and take a photograph of the back of the package, and then I enlarge it on my phone. So we definitely need to do something with these labels. That is my story of my challenge. So I'm going to put this out to anyone can answer. All three of you can answer. That's fine. So let's discuss the current challenges with nutrition food labels, especially the nutrition facts. Sorry, that's a whole nother story. Nutrition facts, when you look at it, you think, oh, okay, am I supposed to actually, as a person who is not in the medical or nutrition field, understand what this is about? We need simpler information. So the ingredients lists on the back of the products, again, we look and we see 25 grams of sugar, but then we look, like me, a little bit further down on the package and you see barley and this cane syrup and this and all those other 62 names for sugar disguised. So all these are things that we need to pay some attention to. So why these challenges need to be tackled at this juncture is the first question. So current challenges with nutrition food labels, especially the nutrition facts panels and the ingredients list on the back of the products and why these challenges need to be tackled at this juncture.
Okay, I'm going to jump right in here.
Sure. Well,
thank you, Jan. The nutrition facts panels at the bar, as you quite rightly said, they're too fine, and there's too much information at the bar. So it doesn't capture the consumer's attention immediately. And, you know, at the bar, you're seeing the number of calories, the vitamins, as you said, the barley, the oats. Then you see refined sugars, this type. There is so much information, and it's not as precise as what a consumer is looking for. Because when you are strolling through the supermarket aisles, that's why it's so important. This is why we fully support the frontal package, you know, warning labels, because immediately it's right there in front of you. But when you look at the nutrition fact panels, they're going to so much more detail in the manufacturer and the distributor and the address, you know, information that is important.
Okay, Vernon, I'm going to stop you there for a minute, but hold that thought. We are going to come right back to you and then move on to Maisha. We're going to take a commercial break, and guys, get your questions ready. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips. Them just give hypertension. Got some old fashioned itch. Do a tilted back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed. Steady watching movies like 24-7. Is these try on going you garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer. We mine is alarming.
Jeez on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell us, nah?
So welcome back to the program this evening, Healthline, and we are discussing, we have the right to know what is in our food. If you're just joining us, we have three guests on the line with us. Mrs. Maisha Hutton, Executive Director of Healthy Caribbean Coalition, Dr. Khatija Manjera, medical doctor, and Mrs. Marlon Rice Boyne, president of BARC, of which I'm a proud member. Marlon, you were making your point. Continue on.
Thank you so much. So I was referring to the challenges with the nutrition food labels at the back, because it's the nutrition fact labels, because it's not a nutrition food label, but more a fact panel. So and when you look at the fact panel, there's so much information. It's too much information for the consumer. As a consumer, what you really want to know immediately when you take a product up is the sodium, the sugars, and the fats. Calories, of course, you know, yes, we could put that there, but the sodium, the sugars, and the fats. And I refer to it, this is my view of the front of packaging warning labels. I refer to it as my food compass, right? So when I go through the aisle, I'm using my food compass. And I want to deposit here before Maisha comes in. Something that troubles me is that we are still seeing too many products on our shelves in foreign languages. So front of label, there's a whole set of nutrition fat panels, but they're not in English. So that can't help us as consumers. But I want to stop here so my chick could come in, and then I'll come back in later on.
Yes, Maisha is definitely going to come in. And I want to say publicly that Maisha in our coalition is our front of package warning labels.
Yes.
Guru. She knows everything about it. Yes. Over to you, Maisha.
Thank you. I love this conversation because you said, Jan, I love this issue. I think it's so important. I have two children. I have family members with NCDs, you know, and I can, when you go into the supermarket and you see these packages with this extremely confusing labeling on the back that you need a nutrition master's, you know, to understand. And then what we've not talked about is the front of the packages, which are now, they're the delight of the manufacturers. There are characters all over there causing my kids to nag me for this and that. They want this cereal. They want this sugary snack. And then there are all of the health claims. You know, I want, this is going to lower your cholesterol. It might lower your cholesterol. This is good for heart health. You know, there are hundreds of different FOPL systems applied to products. And we have to keep in mind the intention of these labels, right? They're put there by the manufacturer and they're there to sell products. They're not there to improve our health. They're there to sell their products and increase profit lines. So I think we need to think about that. And why is it so important, you asked, Janet, at this juncture? And I want to just echo what Khadija said, is that, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and the pandemic has really underscored our collective failure to prioritize NCD prevention and prevention of obesity, because we've seen time after time, those who are most vulnerable to COVID are those who are overweight or obese and those with NCDs. So we need to start thinking about what we put in our body, as Khadija said, and we know for a fact that unhealthy diets are the single greatest risk factor contributing to NCDs. So, you know, as one of the lecturers at UE said a little while ago at a webinar, what we're eating is killing us. And this front of package labeling has been shown to be one of the most effective ways to help people to make healthy choices around the foods that they consume. Because right now, the consumer is just confused, as Marilyn said. They don't know, you know, they just don't know what to purchase.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Naisha. That is absolutely correct. I mean, I go in, like I said, I read my labels, but I look for specific things. I don't have the time to stand up and read and read and read. And I, quite frankly, I don't understand the label that speaks to the nutrition facts and all that kind of thing. Mm-mm. It is too much for us.
Too much.
I don't think, and certainly at a certain stage of your life, man, all I want to know is that the sugar is low, the sodium low, the fats and that kind of thing. I don't need to know what color this and that and all different types of things. So we really need to get specific. We really need to make a push on this, because this is one of the ways that can help our people make wise choices when they're shopping. So I think we might have mentioned it a little further up. We were talking about exactly what is front of package warning labels, but I think we just covered that. So when we speak, the Coalition, Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, we speak from a place of knowledge, a position of knowledge and facts. Everything we do is evidence-based. We have evidence to back up what we say. So when we say that octagonal warning labels, and Khadija would have mentioned this a little earlier up, when we say octagonal warning labels can work, we have the evidence. And so the question to you, Maisha, because can you explain to us, why do we need these labels? Show us the facts surrounding these labels. Why do we think these labels can work? Show us where else they're working and the evidence that we have that they're actually working.
Thanks, Jan. So I think first and foremost, we need to establish that these labels are endorsed by public health authorities. So they're recommended by the WHO, the World Health Organization. They're recommended by the Pan American Health Organization. They're recommended by the Caribbean Public Health Agency. And they've been endorsed by the Ministry of Health and Wellness in Barbados. So the public health authorities who are charged and tasked with making recommendations about our health have fully endorsed these labels. So why are we endorsing them, and why have they endorsed them? And see, it's because the evidence has shown that they are the most effective labels at empowering consumers, as Khadija said early, to quickly, correctly, and easily identify those foods that are high in nutrients of public health concern. And as Khadija said earlier, nutrients of public health concern are your salts, your fats, your sodium. These are the nutrients that when we consume them in excess, it's okay in moderation, but what we're doing is we're consuming them in excess. They lead to obesity and NCDs. So there's overwhelming scientific evidence, as Jan said, that these labels are far superior to other types of labels. I mentioned earlier that there are many different models out there for front of package labeling. And many of the models have been, you know, they've been generated by the manufacturers of these products, these ultra processed food products. And they're there to help the consumer, but they're also there to sell products. There was a study done recently in Jamaica of over 1,200 adult shoppers. This was conducted by the University of Technology of Jamaica, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and PAHO. And what they found was when they compared the high-end octagonal warning label, this octagonal stop sign, you think of a stop sign, right? But this is black, as Khadija said, and it has a high-end on it. It tells you, you know, this is high in sugar, salt, fats. When they compared that with other models, another model was a magnifying glass, the traffic light system, which you may see in the supermarkets, the colorful label that you'll see in the front of the packages, it's commonly used in the UK. When they compared that, they found that the octagonal warning label performed best in improving the capacity of consumers to make healthier food decisions. You know, and it worked under a number of different settings. It allowed them to correctly understand nutritional content, to identify the least harmful product. And so it was really, really effective. And that's data from our region. Now we have data from outside of our region. In Chile, in 2016, they introduced this policy. And since then, research has shown that the labels have helped consumers to identify foods that are unhealthy, resulting in a 24% decrease in the purchase of sugary drinks. And in, you know, and this, we've also seen similar data in Mexico. Mexico has recently implemented front of package warning labels, and they've done some research to forecast, you know, the impact and model the impact of this regulation. And they found that it will likely reduce obesity by 15% after 5 years of implementation and save the country, wait for this, an estimated $1.8 billion in obesity costs. I mean, when we think of Barbados, right, our investment case back in 2015, which showed that we were spending on average $65 million on NCDs every year, and we are losing almost $145 million, you know, in lost productivity. This is huge. You know, and a few more things I just wanted to mention about this policy, which I think is really important. It's a rights compliant policy. What that means is that we all know that we have a right to access nutritious food. And part of that access, that right, is to have information about what is nutritious. The other really important thing about this policy is it's an equitable policy. What do I mean by that? It means that it is a policy which makes it easy for even the most vulnerable, those who are illiterate, those of lower socioeconomic status, children. It's almost like an equalizer. They can all now very easily see, as Khadija and Marilyn have said, which foods they should not be eating. And finally, it's like, you know, it's this enabling policy. Once we have that stamp on foods that are high end, it allows governments to say, you know what, these are the foods that we're going to tax because they're unhealthy, and these are the foods that we're going to subsidize so that they are accessible cost-wise. These are the foods we're going to regulate in schools. These are the foods we're going to regulate. We're not going to allow to be marketed to children. So I'm going to stop there. I think that's a bit of a mouthful, but as you can see, as Jan said, I'm a big advocate for front of package warning labels.
Yeah, and Maisha, you know, we all know of your strength and advocacy as well, and you've been doing this for a while. But I also wanted to support what Maisha had said, because, you know, we've been looking at some research as well. And I looked at some research from the American Journal of Preventive Medicine study.
But Marlon, I don't know why every time we get to you, we have to take a break.
That's all right. That's all right.
But that's just giving you some more fuel to come back and speak.
Yes.
Let's just take a break and come right back quickly. And we're going to hear you. Okay, Larry, all yours.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties on salty chips, them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell.
the state of the health of Savory is truly alarming. Oh my goodness, it really is. Marlon, again, let me just say this number, 434-1790. We are inviting you to call and ask our questions, to ask your questions, share anything you want to say, you want to ask us. We're encouraging you. So we're going to be coming to the lines any minute now. So stand by, 434-1790. And Marlon, the floor is fully yours for the next 10 minutes if you need it.
Don't need all of that. I was just following up on some studies that my son was referring to, and I recognize in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine study of February 2019, they refer to the fact that labels reduce the intake of calories by 6.6%. They reduce the intake of fat by 10.6% and other general unhealthy choices by 13%. So if there's any doubt if these labels will work, and or if persons would say, man, particularly, you know, here at home, we are inclined to say, man, there's a lot of food, it will not work. But as grandparents and as parents, we have to drive, apart from being advocates and be coming on air and going public, we have to also live it so that we encourage our children and our grandchildren, because we must recognize that today's children, their health depends fully on the decisions that we make today. So we have to drive it as well from a grassroots level also. This is a program that everybody must get involved in. And Maisha did allude to that earlier when she said everybody has to be involved, because it's your health, and your health is your wealth.
I could not have said it better. It takes an approach. It takes every single hand to clap in this movement. So most definitely. So again, if you're now joining us, you are walking into our conversation. We have the right to know what is in our food. And this is brought to you by the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. And our three guests this evening, Mrs. Maisha Hutton from the Healthy Caribbean Coalition, Executive Director, Dr. Khatija Manjera, a medical doctor, and Marlon Rice-Bowen, President of BARP. So we're going to go to the phone lines. We have a caller on the line.
Good night.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.
How are
Good
you?
Night.
Yeah, we are wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great, but I have a great concern.
Sure.
Yeah, you all are talking about the things that in the supermarket that the parents bought for children to give them to eat. But what about the ads on our television every night showing the child eating a big cupcake with enough sugar? That is not something to be concerned about.
Who wants to take this one?
Yeah, I would say yes, it is something to be concerned about. But with persistent education, let me just remove the word education. With raising the awareness of what the cupcake or the slice cake, and you know, as grandparents and parents, we tend to feel that food is comfort at times. So by cutting it out incrementally, you would reach a stage where the child will not gravitate towards that cupcake. But you know, you can't just stop it immediately. It's an incremental action. And so let me just stay here. Let me share with you, one of my grandsons and three of my boys, they don't drink soft drinks. They always want water. And you know, sometimes they say you don't want little juice, you don't want little bits. But when they are at school, they have fruit days. And at school, one of them in particular who goes to private school, he can't buy snacks. There are no snacks at his school. You only could get fruit from school. So he's into the habit of eating fruits and drinking water. So he can't go to the tray on the outside and buy like the pretty things that change the children color, the color of their tongue and all that. So it is an awareness that has to be raised, yes, from civil society, but then it has to go, it has to feed right down into the homes, every home. And we will reach a stage, ma'am, it wouldn't happen immediately, but we'll get there, where that child, where the children will refuse that cupcake. They'll probably ask you for a golden apple or a bunch of grapes or set of, those yellow plums, chili plums. But we'll get
but
there.
But you know, they say that we eat with our eyes.
Well, if we eat with our eyes, sometimes you see some food when you walk in places that you won't really want that, you know. I tell you.
I know, but children are very, you see, every time they go to town, they see chauffeur, they want chauffeur because that's what they see. So it's like.
Okay, but I don't know if you want to call names, but I'll tell you something. You're a granny too?
I'm a granny, yes, and that I don't
even know. I don't know about you, granny, but the boy can't fry a piece of chicken better than me.
I know my children like sweet.
You understand? When they want to, they're running home for granny chicken or piece of granny fish. You have to create that desire. That you listen, as a little girl, and I know my friend here nodded with me. As a little girl, you should run home for your food. Because you know the sweet food was at home, you know.
Yeah, but that was those days.
It is still happening, but your hand will be sweet. Your hand is sweet.
It's sweeter than sweet, but never mind.
But you have to get the children back. Come, you have to get those children, those grandchildren, to come to your hand.
I know, but the children break down parents too. When they start crying, the parents give in. So
that's what we would have said a little bit earlier on. This is not just our job. We are giving you the information, but because we are not in the home with you, that becomes your job. After we've shared the information with you and you know what you need to do, then we need you to carry on the fight, as it were, and pick it up into your home and say, you know what, this is what is going to happen. This is what I'm going to prepare for them. You have to make it happen, but we're sharing the information with people. Okay?
I know that. But you know the younger generations are different. So we have to keep knocking at that all the time and keep some of those ads off the television, because the children just get addicted to things that they see all the time.
Definitely, we have to keep an eye, and I'm glad you said that, because we also can probably then do a program with marketing, and that is where all that will come in. At this time, Maisha wants to make a comment as well, but thanks for your call. We appreciate it, and we hope that you call back. We're going to be going for another 6 or 8 weeks, so please call us again, but thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you. Maisha? All yours.
Yes, I wanted to thank that caller. I thought that was such an excellent question. I mean, I have kids, and this, I think we need to start thinking about the environment. We talk about something called an obesogenic environment, and that's the environment in which it's almost programmed to make you want to eat. You know, you head out in the morning, children go to school. On the way to school, there's promotional and marketing for candy. Candy is cheap. And I think this is why we need policies to make the environment more supportive of healthy decisions, whether food is cheaper, whether it's not as accessible. And the policy in Chile that I was telling you about, where they had the labels, it also mandated that products which had a stamp on it could not be marketed on TV, advertised on TV when children were watching television.
Nice.
You know, that's the beauty of these labels, which I mentioned earlier. They really are far reaching and wide reaching in their impact. But I think we always need to go back to this idea of the environment and stop placing so much pressure on individuals to make decisions in environments that are set up for them to choose unhealthy foods.
Great. All right. So I'm getting a signal from Larry that we have another caller on the line. Good evening, caller. You're on the health line. Speak to us.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
We are wonderful.
Okay.
What do you have for us this evening?
Right. I applaud this move by your coalition. But as the caller before mentioned, the little girl on the TV, eating the cupcake with all the sugar. The point is that if your initiative is successful, it will affect the bottom line of businesses. So my question is, have the businesses given their buy-in? Have you all got the buy-in from the businesses? Because surely that will have some impact on the economic welfare of companies.
Yeah.
Well, y'all callers are shouting this evening. I'm absolutely loving it. Who's going to take this? Who's going to take this call? Marlon, Maisha?
No, I think Maisha, because I don't have the background information with reference to the depths of work that the coalition has gone into with the corporate community. Anything, or do we have to, Maisha?
Yeah, I need a quick comment on that. I think it's an excellent question. And that's something we've been working on. I know the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados, you, Jan, and your team, you've been reaching out to the food and beverage sector to try and bring them on board. And certainly we have some actors who are very supportive of this policy and others who are not. So, you know, I think what we always need to remember, though, is that this is a health issue. It's not a trade issue. It's not an economic issue. First and mm-hmm. foremost, it's about the health of people. Mm-hmm. And we need to make those hard decisions, which maybe have short-term implications, but they have definite long-term gains and significant long-term impact. So mm-hmm. we can weigh the short-term cost to companies around changing their labels, and reformulation, because they will have to reformulate because they'll want to sell their products without stamps, against the cost of averting the $145 million we just talked about. And the $65 million we're spending annually on NCDs. So we need to start making those decisions that put, as the campaign says, health first.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great call. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you. Call again soon. All right. So let's move a little further on. Maisha, I had a follow-up from what you were speaking to earlier. And what I'd like you to share with us right now is outline for us what's being done to move forward with obtaining the FOPWL in Barbados and the wider Caribbean.
Sure. So, you know, I don't know if our callers know that the FOPL is a standard, as you said at the beginning, Jan, and we had a vote on the standard. So CARICOM member states, 15 of them were meant to vote. The vote was to be submitted in May, and we needed to have at least 75% of the countries vote in favor. It was either a yes or no vote, and we missed it by one country. So we're kind of back at the drawing table. I mean, I'm very proud to say, you know, with the efforts of Jan and her team, Barbados was one of the countries that voted positively. So we had six countries that voted in favor, three that voted against, and six abstained. So we're back to the drawing table. We're waiting on the regional body called CrossQ, which makes decisions, which has really been leading on this process. We're waiting on them to get back to us and tell us really, you know, what's next? What do we do next in terms of deciding, you know, whether or not we move forward with another vote, or do we go back to the drawing table? So we're kind of playing a waiting game, but I think what we're doing as advocates and what the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados is doing with their recent campaign launch is really trying to build public support and public demand for this policy. So that if there's a vote next time, we hopefully will have even more support for policymakers. And we're trying to do that at the HCC across the region with our partners like Heart and Stroke Foundation at country level.
Okay, so in speaking to public support, then I guess I have to ask this question: what can civil society and the general public really do to get these nutrition warnings on the front of food packages? Is there anything, Marlon? You're muted.
One of the things we need to do is to dig a little deeper. So then we need to start to engage the attention of the PTAs, because the PTAs are a very big movement. And if you could get buy-in from that group, then they can work within the schools and they could influence what is being served at their canteens, what is being sold on the school compound. And, you know, you start then to influence the schools, influence the children's diets at schools. And as well, if you start then to, deprive is not the word, but if they can't access certain things that are not good for them, eventually then you can wean them off of that, those particular items. But I think our one of the areas that we should look at would be engaging the PTAs. I know that the civil society has, you know, BARP is, we are 22,000 strong. So, you know, we are with you, we are standing with you, but we need to go deeper because we need to reach those children. And to get to the children, we need to go through the PTAs.
Absolutely, and we support we need all the support that we can get. We appreciate it, and we thank you for coming on board, because we really need to get this and other things done. Khadija, you were quiet there for a bit, but I see you wanting to say something.
Well, I just wanted to add that I think we need to stop a commercial break.
Thank you, Khadija. I have a co-host this evening, so we're going to break at this point for commercial, and we'll see you in a few seconds. We'll hear you, rather.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips. Them just give hypertension. Got some old fashioned itch. Do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on a bed. Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going you garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mine is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell, no?
Pet care when it sells. We have to take care of ourselves. You are here this evening with the crew from the Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, Maisha Hutton, Executive Director of Healthy Caribbean Coalition, Mrs. Marlene Rice Bowen, President of Barbados Association of Retired Persons, and Dr. Khadija Manjera. And we are speaking to you, saying to you that you have the right to know what is in our food. Khadija, I want to come back to you and ask you from your perspective as a medical doctor, what information would you like to get out there to, we say consumers, but I like to say, specifically speaking to parents with children, what information would you like to get out there to them in terms of their shopping and the labels and reading the labels and really hammering home the importance of it again, because we're coming down to the end fairly soon.
Right. I definitely agree with Marilyn in terms of trying to engage the PTAs, because as a physician trying to teach patients about food labels, it takes a lot of time. And it's very confusing when you're trying to teach parents how to read a food label, like in a crash course, sort of speaking. And they don't go away with a lot of clarity. Sometimes it just confuses them even more. So definitely would agree that trying to get the parents and the PTA involved in pushing the front of package labeling is important. The other thing is, what a big contributor to childhood obesity would be like the sugar sweetened beverages, and so trying to eliminate that as much as possible, like, and supplementing it with water instead. It is hard, and like if children will model what we do, so if we are the ones that take the initiative and eliminate the sweet drinks, children are likely to follow. And starting from a young age is important, because if that's all they know, then that habit continues throughout the rest of their adulthood. So starting from very young, healthy habits and simple things, just like cutting out sweet drinks or limiting in moderation, The other thing is people think juices are often healthy as a substitute for like Coke and other soft drinks, but they're really not. Sometimes they're just as bad or even worse than the actual soft drink. So just be careful in what you try to substitute. Now with online school, there's a lot of sedentary lifestyle, even more so than before. So I would encourage parents and kids to try to do engage in some activity like on weekends and like maybe 3 days a week, take a walk around the neighborhood, find a YouTube video, go to the beach, you know, because with the pandemic, I don't see school starting back anytime soon. So trying to get them more active is important as well. So those would be, and then trying to have a healthy, well, not healthy, trying to have breakfast. I know a lot of kids skip breakfast, so having breakfast that's high in protein and avoiding the sugary cereals like Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes. Those are like just a few simple tips that I would say can make a big difference in the childhood obesity prevention.
Absolutely. I like to tell this little story a lot of the time. When my nephew was 2 years old, I was keeping him for my sister. And he said to me he wanted to have some cereal. Now, he liked Raisin Bran cereal. For 2 years old, I don't even know how. But I gave him a little bit of cereal, sprinkled a little bit of sugar on it, and poured a little bit of milk on it. And the child refused to eat this thing. The face push up. I was like, okay, cool. He did not eat it. When my sister came home, so I told her exactly what I did. She said, you put sugar on it? I said, yeah. She said, he's never tasted sugar yet. He has no idea what it tastes like. He did not like the sugar because he didn't know what it was like. We need to be able to form good habits. If we do it from the time they are young, that is what we are going to create in them. If you give them a sweet drink at 1 year old and they acquire a taste for the sugar, then that's what they're going to crave. Like I said, if you don't give them the sugars and all the other things, then they won't have the taste for it. So that's my little story. We're coming down to the end of it. This time goes by so quickly, my goodness. But what I want to do right now is, as we head down the home stretch, is invite listeners seeking more information on our campaign or our general information. You can check our social media pages, Instagram and Twitter at HSF Barbados, and on Facebook at Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados, or log on to our website, www.hsfbarbados.org, and check out how you can join our movement. We're always looking for people to join our movement. You know, there's strength in numbers, and right now that's what we need. We need to get the numbers to say, you know what, enough already. We want to have these sugary drinks out of schools. We want to have the warning labels. Speak up. Sound your voice. So go on our website and get the information and share with us anything you want to tell us. We are there. We can chat with you. That's not a problem at all. At this point in time, with 8 more minutes to go, I'm going to give each of our guests a final few minutes, maybe about 2 minutes each to close up. And we can head down the road.
And so the older one going first? All right. I just want to thank Jan for the work that the coalition, the work y'all are doing right now. And one of our directors, Tony Marshall, he sits on the committee and he does outstanding work. And I want to thank him for his commitment to this effort as well. And as Caribbean people, we socialize with food. Nobody invites you to go for a walk. Everybody invites you over for a meal. And because food tends to be center of all of our existence, the only thing is that the professionals might play golf, fit a few holes of golf, but everything else is always driven by food. And because we are driven by food, it's important, therefore, that we take good care of our health. We must therefore also recognize that our health is just as important as the manufacturer's wealth. And we need to, as I said earlier, we need to ensure that we start the train, the movement of good eating habits, cutting out the sugars, reducing the sugars, reducing the salt incrementally, so that our children and our grandchildren will lose that taste, like your nephew, would not have that taste, would not have the desire for such foods with sugars and salts in it. Because if we do not protect them now, we are going to have a generation of unhealthy young adults. And therefore, they would not be able to look after their seniors if they too are requiring care. So their health is important, and we must recognize that their future, their health, for in order for them to live a healthy future, we, this generation, must take care and make wise decisions. So we stand firmly with you on the front of packaging warning labels, and we would do anything, we would raise our voices in advocacy and to heighten the awareness of healthy eating and healthy choices.
Could not have said it better. Thank you, Marilyn. Khadija, final words?
There's a lot that was said today. I would start by encouraging people to try to become familiar with food labels, since that's what the conversation was around today. So simple things like just looking at sugar, salt, and fats. So anything that has 20% or more of that nutrient is too high, and anything that's 5% or lower is kind of where you want it to be. So if you look at the percentages, 20 is too high, 5 is too low. And there's lots of information on the internet. So, I mean, if you could spend 5 minutes just learning a little bit more about how to read a food label until we get the front of package labeling approved. But I definitely would encourage people, because literacy does improve the choices that people make. And as I said, food is fuel. So you have to choose wisely.
Great. Thank you so much, Khadija. Maisha, your closing remarks.
Thank you. I mean, I just wanted to congratulate the Heart and Stroke Foundation for a tremendous campaign, and not only the recent campaign, but all of your efforts. I think you're a wonderful example for civil society action, and we work across the Caribbean. So, I can say that comfortably, that you've done such a tremendous job rallying not only the public, but also creating the space for policymakers to do as they did and vote in support of front of package labeling. So, and you're now collaborating with Jamaica, which is wonderful. I think my last kind of thought that I want to leave people with is that we really need to shift our mentality from a prevention one, I mean, from a treatment towards prevention. And prevention does not mean education. Prevention means policies that create environments that are healthy environments, which make it easy for people to make easy health choices. And I think that's so important. Our food system right now is really set up for profits. It's not set up for good health. And we need to continue to press our governments to change our food environments so that we can begin to make those choices, which should be easy. We shouldn't have to be fighting up our children around the types of, you know, foods they want to buy. We shouldn't have to be, as Khadija said, struggling with nutrition facts panels. You know, we should be in environments where we have easy access to nutritious foods. So that's my closing comment. We need to really focus on prevention, and prevention means policies, and FOPL policy is a great start.
Thank you very much, Maisha. On behalf of the COP team, we thank you also for standing with us and doing an excellent job. So to the listeners, thank you so much. We are delighted that you took the time to stay with us this evening. Remember to tune in next Wednesday at 6:30 for another program. I'm sure the topic will be equally exciting and equally as exciting guests. I want to thank our guests this evening, Mrs. Maisha Hutton, Executive Director of A Healthy Caribbean Coalition, Dr. Khadija Manjera, medical doctor, and Mrs. Marlon Rice Boyne, president of the Barbados Association of Retired Persons. And of course, Larry, we want to thank you as always. We appreciate you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jan Phillips, Advocacy Officer of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Stay safe, wear your mask, hand sanitize, social distance. Have a good night. Well.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips.
Them just give hypertension.
Got some old-fashioned itch. Do a tilted back and start sipping.
What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed.
Steady watching movies like 24-7.
Is he try on going you garden. I pick a fruit
or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer.
We mind is alarming.
Jeez, bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell, nah?